The college paper or persuasive essay are common ways to grade students in college, sometimes in high school as well. And now the school paper may be turned upside down because of generative AI, so-called artificial intelligence. Advanced chatbot technology is here. It can write papers and make itself look pretty smart, smart enough that it can be prompted to write papers that some would consider B-plus material. It's likely to get better. Our next guest says the educational system needs to figure out how to respond. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the rise of this type of technology? Have you encountered it yourself in your job as a student or as a teacher, maybe yourself? Do you think that we need to change the way we evaluate students from the essay to what? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Stephen Marsh is a novelist and essayist. He's the author of several books, including The Next Civil War and The Unmade Bed. His latest piece in The Atlantic is called The College Essay is Dead. Stephen, welcome back to Central Time.
Pleasure to be with you, Rob.
You've been following and writing about this generative AI and other similar products for some time now. When it comes to coming up with documents that look like term papers, say, give us a sense of how quickly this technology has been emerging lately.
Well, I mean, it's the kind of thing where I sort of have my mind blown about once every 2 weeks. You know, like, it's just one of those things like, oh, you can do that now? Like, oh, my God. I mean, I would say the moment I had where I really had my mind blown was about 2 years ago, where I was using an application called PseudoWrite, which allows you to use GPT-3 to create writing. And I asked it to finish the poem Kubla Khan by Samuel Taylor Coleridge, like, you know, in Xanadu to Kubla Khan, a stately pleasure dome decree, you know, that whole poem that was famously unfinished. And it finished it, and it was completely convincing. And it was like, it was like, if somebody told me that Coleridge had written that, I would believe it. And I think everyone else would believe it too. So I've been sort of like, I think the past couple of weeks, as ChatGPT has shown up, people are really starting to understand the power of this stuff. But I have, you know, I knew from that moment that the undergraduate essay was more or less doomed.
Now, GPT-3, ChatGPT, can you talk a little bit about how it works? It's not, I mean, we say artificial intelligence. It's not intelligent artificially or otherwise. What's it doing?
Okay. So I've talked to the great engineers who invented Transformer. I've talked to like people who did Palm at Google, which has 540 billion parameters. I don't feel like I'm an idiot. But on the other hand, I don't want to deceive your listeners into thinking that I can describe this in an accurate way that would be technically accurate. The most important thing to remember is that all it is text prediction software. All it does is create, it creates what is the most logical continuation of a passage, right? And so that's all that it does. And to do that, I mean, to give it in the most crude description, it creates, it searches language for patterns of coherence. These are the parameters, and then applies them to make more coherent language. So when you have something like GPT-3, which has 175 billion parameters, that has incredible powers. But when you get to something like Google's Palm, which has 540 billion parameters, it can do things like low-level reasoning, and where you can instruct it using parables and things like that, and it will learn from them. And yeah, and it gets crazy the higher the number of parameters go and the more sophisticated the intelligence gets.
All right, here I am, an undergraduate student. It's been a day or two, but pretend. Papers due. So what do I input? What do I get out if I try to have these programs, these systems write my paper for me?
Well, let's take an example. I mean, off the top of my head, what do the three witches in Macbeth mean, and how do they relate to the action of the play, right? Like, typical, does that sound like an undergraduate question to you?
Sure.
Yeah, you go to ChatGPT-3, you put in that exact question, you say, write this in the style of that, and it produces it. You know, you would then have to fact check it, then you'd have to correct it, but it would definitely give you a strong, say, well, however many words you asked for. So like if you asked it for 1,000 words, it would give you 1,000 words on that question, and they would be pretty good.
and you looked at a paper written by one of these, by somebody else who'd input parameters. What did it look like something that you could read and say, yeah, maybe a human wrote this, then did a decent job?
Yeah, but, I've been a professor, so I remember grading undergraduate papers, and like many of them were totally incoherent, right? This was quite coherent, right? But I think you have to understand, like, there are a number of examples going around, but, you know, I have a friend who's using this because his kids in French immersion here, because we're in Canada, and they don't have enough of a particular kind of children's book that his kid likes. So he's gone to ChatGPT and said, can you write this story in French for my six-year-old son to read? And it does it, and the kid reads it, right? I mean, we're entering a world of a fundamentally different relation to text production.
Talking to Stephen Marsh. He wrote a piece in The Atlantic called The College Essay is Dead. Why? Because these online systems, these generative learning AI systems, can write papers that look pretty plausible for college, maybe even high school. You can join in with your questions if you have experiences with this, if you have concerns about what it can mean for education and beyond. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Stephen, a big point of your piece is, hey, higher education, I'm guessing high school education too, get ready for this. What do you want to see the teachers and professors and administrators thinking about?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I'm not paid the big bucks. I'm not a university administrator. I don't have to deal with this problem. I just have to point it out. Like, actually dealing with it seems to me like an incredible quagmire that I have no idea how to solve. I mean, I actually think what this doesn't end is not the craft of writing, or necessarily the craft of shaping an argument or finding intention in an argument, which is very different. But the confrontation with the blank page, like a student just being like, I have to write 1500 words. Here's a blank computer screen. I have to fill it. That first draft, I think that's really dead. And so the question then becomes, you know, is this even cheating? Because it's a tool. You're not using somebody else's intelligence. It's not cheating to use a thesaurus or spell check. Is this even cheating? I mean, that's one question that you have to deal with. But I actually think like methods of evaluation are going to have to change. I mean, I think the take-home exam is pointless at this point. But I also think like things like oral exams are going to return. Like where you're actually talking to students and figuring out what they know from talking to them, that is also going to return, because simply seeing an undergraduate essay is not going to mean that they composed it.
I remember in high school, something I really resented for a term paper was I had to, you know, first list some of the sources and start outlines and basically show my work in stages as the semester went on. Is that a method you think could defeat this?
That's a smart teacher, right? Yeah. I mean, like, I think there are techniques for dealing with this. And I do think the essay, I mean, you know, I have made my living basically from writing essays my whole life, but I do think it is an important step in learning how to think through things and learning how to research things and learning how to figure things out in your own mind and how to put them down in a way that is communicable to other people. I think it is important just simply as a technique to master for other things. I think there's going to be a lot of approaches like that the teachers are going to have to take, because just simply like grading like the say a bunch of papers that come in and the students have done them in the privacy of their own home, I think that's going to be, you know, that's not going to register what you think it's registering anymore.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Kylie is with us in Sparta. Kylie, hi.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
So what I wanted to say is I'm currently finishing my master's degree in special education. Just finishing. Tomorrow's my last day of student teaching. And I'm going through Grand Canyon University in Arizona. It's an online course. What I was telling the person that answers the phones is, for our work, we have to send it in for a similarity report, and that looks through the entire web of, information where, you know, things are generated, and we can't have a higher similarity score than 20%. Hmm. So when you have these websites that create these documents, then they're, you know, they're saved. And so then if you're copying it, it's going to show 100%. You can't turn it in.
Kylie, thanks for that call. More power to you. My mom is a retired special ed teacher, so you're doing good work there. Thank you, and congrats on finishing student teaching. Stephen, she's talking about that plagiarism check that is done online. And maybe that would work here. It's not exactly plagiarism, but if everybody's social or special ed final paper looks kind of the same because it came from the same programs, it's got to start ringing some bells?
Well, you know, I think so this stuff doesn't register on Turnitin.com. ChatGPT, there's been some talk that they are going to actually like provide every code, essentially put a code in for each block of text produced, which would allow an institution or a university to check against it. Right? Like to check whether it has actually been produced by ChatGPT. I'm sure, you know, ChatGPT-3 is not the only technology capable of doing this. There are other programs out there, Jasper AI, my favorite Cohere in Toronto, like that do this similar stuff with similar effects. So, you know, finding an irresponsible large language model is not going to be particularly difficult for anybody. But then I also would point out that I don't think a smart student would use this as a, like they would just put it in and then take whatever came out, because first of all, sometimes the machines hallucinate, right? Like every now and then they produce an answer that is completely unrelated to reality, right? Mm-hmm. And that would get you an F, right? So what this would be used for is that you generate this text and it would essentially be a first draft generator that you would check, and then you would you know, fool around with the language and the wording and make your own in some way. And that's what it would do to me, rather than just completely create a whole text that you would just, you know, hand in after 5 minutes. It would actually just reduce the hardest process, part of the writing process, which is the first draft.
Kylie, thanks for the call. We are talking to novelist and essayist Stephen Marsh about the disruptive power of generative AI, computer systems that can now compile things that look a lot like college essays, maybe even a high school paper, and produce things that look like art, too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how this could change education? Do you have thoughts on this if you work with students at any level? Do you have concerns about what this could mean if a computer basically could generate their paper for them, ideally with a bit of redrafting along the way? Call it at 800-642-1234. Do you see positive uses of this human and AI-like thing working together? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with novelist and essayist Stephen Marsh, talking about his latest piece for The Atlantic. It's called "The College Essay is Dead. Nobody's Prepared for How AI Will Transform Academia." There are systems and algorithms where you input some ideas and talking points and it generates the length of paper that you want. How does that change education? Does it? Call 800-642-1234 with your reactions, your questions. If you've been able to play around with some of these things yourself, love to hear about your experience at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Stephen, you get into a deeper point in that essay about kind of a divide that's growing between what we think of as the humanities and technology world. And you say these kind of things may force them to talk to each other again. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're dealing with the technology of language, right? And specifically of the aesthetics of language in a really, you know, fascinating way. I do think the two sides, at least from my experience, are quite removed on this point. You have technologists who, you know, don't really understand literature, don't really understand history, you know, just or regard humanistic questions as like, you know, everybody's entitled to an opinion kind of questions. And then you have humanities, on the other hand, who are, you know, still engaged in pretty navel-gazing debates about their own relevance and also resistant to technology and, you know, engaged in a refusal to see its potential. But I think this technology is so wonderful. I mean, I really am a big fan. Like, I know we do these pieces where it's like we're afraid of things and it's going to ruin the essay. But I actually think this is going to be a marvelous technology that's going to create very beautiful, fascinating things, and is going to create new art forms and new genres of expression. And I think everyone's going to see that when these two sides get together, it's going to be magic. And I mean, that may sound utopian, but I actually think that both sides kind of recognize that that's where their future lies for both of them.
I've seen arguments in the past before we had these kind of programs about ways humans can embrace technology. I think the word centaur came up, kind of get the best of both worlds. As a creator, as a writer yourself, what are some of your visions for how that beauty could come out of this?
Well, I mean, it hasn't been published yet, but I've just written a short story with an engineer at Cohere where it's a prompt story. So we built it on prompts, like do this, do that throughout, and then trained it on examples. And it creates an infinitely regenerative story. So it's the same piece of fiction. It's the same characters. It's the same thing, but it's different every time. It's expressed differently every time. That's just me fooling around with an engineer, right? Like I think there's, like I did write an entirely automatically generated short story for LitHub recently, and one that was 17% computer generated for the LA Review of Books. I mean, I think this is a whole new approach to making language that's going to have, I don't think we know what it is yet. I don't think we've seen the kind of creative chatbots that are going to emerge from this, but they're coming. And I think if we don't mess it up too badly, they could be wonderful.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Marcus is with us in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hi. So, Rob, I have a question. How are you even certain that your guest wrote his article? I mean, you know, I'm kidding, obviously, but, you know, if it can do this, why wouldn't it change everything from, you know, pieces, editorial pieces in newspapers to magazine articles to everything else? And it's just, there's no independent thought, you know. That being said, I will say that, you know, the Bible refers to it. It says nothing's new under the sun. You know, there's always so many storylines, so... I mean, this has kind of been sort of a problem that's been going on all along, too.
Marcus, thanks a lot for that call. Now, I've seen experiments with generating, say, oh, we need to write up all our high school sports results and we don't have any reporters anymore. Feed in the stats. It writes up a thing.
Right.
There are ripoff sites that take other people's news sites, paraphrase them, and write, quote unquote, new articles. I don't know. Stephen, it could be that there is a news article out there that's written, generated this way, and we don't know about it.
Well, a big piece that I wrote for the Atlantic like 3 months ago called Of Gods and Machines, like not to get spoil the thing too much, but 2/3 of the way through, I put in computer generated text. Mm-hmm. And then I revealed afterwards, like actually this part was computer generated and no one noticed, right? Like my editors didn't notice. They didn't say like, oh, you can't have that stuff in, right? Like, because that's obviously wrong. It's like, no, that it sounded and looked exactly like me. Right. So like this is definitely coming. But, you know, I would also remind you that this is just text prediction software. So it doesn't have any intention. Right. It doesn't have a will. It is not like when you write an essay, you're actually willing something into existing. You're intending a meaning to come into existence. And a computer can't do that. Computer has no intention. It's just an algorithm. It's a series of instructions. Right. And so, you know, like, I don't think this is going to take any jobs away from anyone at all, genuinely. Like, I think it's going to be a tool that people are going to use, but, you know, I don't think it's going to destroy writing. What, you know, we live in a world with a lot of fake text in it anyway. I mean, I get letters all the time that says, "Dear Mr. Marsh, you are one of our most valued customers," right? That kind of language is totally, you know, it may as well be written by a machine anyway. So, like, that kind of language. Like, for example, low-level legal contracts, things like this, that language is going to be seriously challenged by ChatGPT and other text generators. But writing, like, I think writing is going to matter more than ever.
Thanks a lot for that call, Marcus. And Stephen, is this maybe a call to embrace a more unique voice when we speak and write and create art? Because I remember when I wrote school papers, I think the incentive was to make them really boring to fit the genre. Is that something we need to get away from?
Well, I think what will matter is the intentionality, you know, because like the, you know, it's sort of like, I mean, when I was a kid, now this is a long time ago, but spelling really mattered. That was real evidence of something in your brain. Like they thought you were smart because you could spell, right? And that's gone, right? Like that's that, like that, that is a historical artifact, right? And I think it will be the same with low-level craft of writing. Like just simply being able to make a coherent, cogent argument, which is not easy. Like people treat it like it's actually quite hard to do. That's about to become a lot easier from simply from a technical point of view. So what will matter more is what you're expressing and what you intend and how you pierce a subject, you know, and how you look at things and how you observe them. I mean, but, you know, that's, we're still in early days here. Like, you know, the other thing is like GPT-4 could come out, you know, 2 weeks from now, and then you'd have to have me back on the show to talk through all the consequences of that, because God knows what they'll be.
Stephen, we'll leave it there and watch for that. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Stephen Marsh, novelist and essayist. We talked to him today about the power of machine learning and generative AI to disrupt lots of stuff, potentially, including text-generating programs that could kill the college essay. But as you heard, he sees a lot of potential positive outcomes of it as well.